Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today is episode 2 with Ken Tan. Ken is the Senior Consultant for Leadership Development at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, and he is also pastor and elder at Glory of God Fellowship Church. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing good, Sammy. Doing good.
Thank you so much for doing podcast with me, and I really appreciate your story in the last episode.
Thank you.
Today, I want to know more about your current ministry at the State Convention and also GGCF, Glory of God Fellowship, Christian Fellowship. Now, tell us about your past ministry experiences.
Well, like I mentioned last time, I had an opportunity to be a youth worker, an associate pastor under the leadership of Dr. Sarah Wee. Then I became a pastor in New Jersey, mm-hmm. Bible Church International. This was my first pastorate. Mm-hmm. Just to let you know, I was not intending to come to the United States to become a pastor because the church we were part of in the Philippines was growing. Mm-hmm. But due to the insistent prodding of my best friend when I was in seminary, his name is Romy Manansala, and I would like to thank God for him. Mm-hmm. He kept challenging me to come. Mm-hmm. So I became a pastor of the first church of Bible Church International in New Jersey. That's part of my experience. And then the Lord called me to be a part of the Baptist State Convention of New York. I mm-hmm. became the State Evangelism Director. And something that I never planned or mm-hmm. was expecting. But then while I was also serving with the Convention of New York, the North American Mission Board came into being. There was a new board. They changed from a home mission board to North American Mission Board. And I was asked to serve as the Leadership Enlistment Training Director for North American Mission Board. So, and then the Lord called me here mm-hmm. to the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina.
When did you come to North Carolina?
That was back in 1996.
Okay.
No. Yes, 1996. I'm sorry.
So almost 20... 2 years
ago? No, 2006. I'm sorry.
Oh, 2006.
Okay. 2006. Well, I'm having my senior moment here.
Okay.
2006, yes.
Okay, so that's been about 11, 12 years.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's great. Now, tell us about your current ministry role at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina.
Yes, right now I serve as the senior leadership consultant for the Baptist State Convention. Mm-hmm. And if you ask me what my role is, my role really here is to help train trainers mm-hmm. who would train people like how the Lord Jesus Christ trained others. Mm-hmm. So it is more of helping them make an impact wherever God has placed these leaders, starting in their home, mm-hmm. seeing it impacting the community, but especially the church. Mm-hmm. And whatever place God has placed them, even in the workplace or whatever organizational or company or leadership capacity they may be in. So that's been my role, is to help train trainers mm-hmm. and leaders who lead like Jesus. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's not limited to Asian American leaders, but it's for everyone.
It is for everyone. That's right. It's for mm-hmm. everyone.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, what is your definition of leadership?
Well, I would put something that I have kind of incorporated together. Mm-hmm. You know, when John Maxwell came out with this and other Oswald Sanders, it's the word leadership is influence. Mm-hmm. I truly believe in that too. Mm-hmm. So I would define leadership as somebody that has the influence to help develop and equip other people in order to achieve a common purpose and goal. Mm-hmm. So that's what I see what leadership is. So if you want to put it on a spiritual level, mm-hmm. so a spiritual leader is somebody who has spiritual influence mm-hmm. that helps other people develop themselves in order to achieve God's agenda mm-hmm. and God's plan and purpose. Mm-hmm. So it comes alongside with that as well. So by adding the word spiritual there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great. Now, why leadership development is important?
Well, whether you like it or not, people that make a difference, even when you look at the Bible, God has called people in leadership position mm-hmm. to carry out His plan. Mm-hmm. There is always a man that God has raised up, whether they is going to be a prophet, it's going to be an apostle, disciples who made a difference. Mm-hmm. And the same way, wherever you go to, whether it's in a workplace or mm-hmm. even in homes and schools, That's where you find that leadership development is so critical. If you want to see success take place, mm-hmm. you not only help develop yourself, but you have to develop others. Mm-hmm. And so leadership development is critical, because if we are not going to do this intentionally, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. Or you end up just developing yourself, mm-hmm. but you're not developing others, mm-hmm. which is critical. So not only do you develop yourself, mm-hmm. you help develop others, but then you help develop a team. And eventually you'll help develop also an organization, mm-hmm. so that they can fulfill whatever purpose and vision and whatever desire they want to become as a person or even as an organization.
Right. Wow, leadership sounds like it's really definitely important. Not just for the organizations, but just every area in life.
Every aspect of your life, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So you're in a very important role.
I believe so, Brother John Stanley. Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I remember you mentioned about four C's in leadership principle. Can you explain more about that? Can you share some essential leadership principle?
You see, that's one of the things that is so critical when you have the some kind of leadership development process. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a framework, if you don't have a pipeline, whatever you like to call it, or process for developing leadership mm-hmm. in your church, then it's just like you're just groping, or you're just offering kinds of leadership stuff, not having some kind of an intentional plan or process. Mm-hmm. So the four C's is one of the things that has been developed here.
Okay.
There are many processes that mm-hmm. people have put together, but for some reason we came up with four that is simple, that is biblical, mm-hmm. it's also transferable to and easy to remember.
Right.
So the four C's number one, it's the character of a person, it should be developed. Mm-hmm. Second is capacity. Mm-hmm. Third is context. Mm-hmm. And fourth is competence. So let me just kind of explain what they are. Mm-hmm. Character is the internal development of every person. The first two I'm going to share with you. Mm-hmm. A person needs to know who they are mm-hmm. and whose they are. Mm-hmm. Because the moment you know who you are, mm-hmm. then you don't have to be trying to be somebody who you're not.
That's right.
And from a Christian perspective, we need to understand we're all made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And God has created us for a purpose. And who we are? Our identity is found in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The moment we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. He becomes our example. He becomes our identity. We want to become like Him. Mm-hmm. And so character is that foundational part. If I know who I am and who I belong to, mm-hmm. then I don't have to long for other areas of acceptance or significance.
Right.
If my desire is to honor God and to become like Him. Mm-hmm. Second is in the area of capacity. This is the second internal development of every leader. Mm-hmm. We need to understand how God has wired us. Because if we understand who we are, then we can operate based upon our giftedness, mm-hmm. our calling. Mm-hmm. It's also based upon our personalities. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be somebody else that we're not.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We need to be who God wants us to be. So emotionally, physically, spiritually, personalities, we need to understand how God has wired us. Because if we use our spiritual gifts and we base it upon our personalities, mm-hmm. we'll be more effective too.
That's right.
Context, the third one, mm-hmm. is now the external development of every leader.
Mm-hmm.
Context is understanding your current realities.
Mm-hmm.
Every context is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be in a workplace? Am I going to be in a church? Am I going to be in a growing situation, in a church that is also declining? Your context mm-hmm. is to be able to understand your current realities.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because what happens in another place may not be the same context of your current area of leadership.
Right.
So giving a good way to assess where you are.
Mm-hmm.
is where your context is.
Right.
So understanding what kind of teams are there,
mm-hmm.
understanding the challenges of your context. And then lastly,
mm-hmm.
is the area of competence, mm-hmm. skills.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is where a lot of leadership development is being offered,
mm-hmm.
is in the area of skills. These are important to be able to carry out the strategy, the plans of the church, but competence means what are the skills I need to be more effective in whatever context and every place God has placed me, like how do I make decisions,
mm-hmm.
how do I strategize,
mm-hmm.
how to create the ownership vision, how to communicate, those are how to resolve conflicts is by the way one of the favorite topics that we've been able to offer as a convention,
mm-hmm.
because there's so much unresolved conflicts out there
mm-hmm.
that if it's not addressed, they become a crisis.
Mm.
And therefore, I would say it paralyzes whatever work or ministry you're doing.
Yeah. Right.
So those are the four areas of four C's. Yes.
That's great. So four C's, they're starting with character.
It starts with character.
And?
And then capacity.
Capacity and then
context and competence.
Competence.
Yes.
Wow, that's great.
Yes.
Wow. So a lot of Asian Americans are struggling with their identity. And Generation Z, they also struggle with identity as well. So the first Z, the character, would be a great stepping stone for them to go through to be an effective leader.
Yes, because whether you like it or not, that identity many times is what forces you to try to adapt to one over another rather than understanding God has called you and made you a child of God, and your identity is found in Him.
Wow, that's great. Now, many Asian churches in North Carolina, I'm not sure in different states, but especially in North Carolina, they suffer for lack of leadership. They don't really have a lot of leaders, basically. How can they develop first-generation leader?
Well, when it comes to leadership, I would say the fact that somebody comes from another culture and comes to America, there is already a disadvantage there, thinking that you have to operate in a culture that you haven't grown up with, you haven't been exposed to. And so therefore, the first generation comes in with a deficit, realizing that, am I ready to really step up to that role? One of the areas is how to communicate. The language barrier, that's been a challenge even for the first generation. And then second, people from the dominant culture may look at you as somebody that may not have the ability, and yet these ones who come from another country, they may be lawyers, they may be teachers, they may be of certain profession, that just because they don't have this, the same capacity to communicate, that has become a challenge. So what I'm saying, for leadership development to happen, the first generation leadership should understand that as much as they want to help develop others, it starts with them. They must be willing to learn also and grow. For example, if there's a deficiency in English, then they have to learn the English language a little more. But then they also see themselves as encouraging the next generation, that they can pour their experiences, because the next generation can also learn from the first, from the cross-cultural pollination right there. They need to learn that as in order for you to be effective, even in the workplace today, you need those you need those cross-cultural competencies. And so being somebody from the first generation helping the second generation is going to make them understand, if you can deal with me as a first generation, then you can also deal with the second generation. So what I'm encouraging the first generation leadership is that they start to pour also themselves in other potential leaders that they see in the churches that can also learn from them as well, so that the next generation can be, I would say, more adept in both cultures.
Well, I think it's a very, very important concept to really empower the next generation to grow, because in many Asian churches, first generation, they have either fear of handing off their baton to the next generation, or they're dominating their leadership, not really allowing next generation to play their roles. But I think, according to what you said, the first generation really need to open up and to see the bigger picture.
Yes.
To really grow the next generations as well.
Let me add something that too. I think you mentioned it too. I'm glad you brought it up. If we're not careful as first generation, many times people will find the significance in positions in the local church. Because they may not be in a position in the workplace because of the context. But if you place them in a cultural or an ethnic church, they can step up in the leadership because they speak in their own language.
That's right.
And it's hard for them to give that up.
Yeah, that's right.
But they cannot remain that way, because if that will be the case, then they will limit the growth of only the church but themselves as well. Because for them to be more effective to prepare the next generation, they need to set the pace that they're also learning and
that's
willing
right.
to learn other cultures as well
that's
to
right.
be more effective in the ministry.
Yeah, that's definitely right. Well, thank you for bringing that up. So the next question following up with that, the previous one, how can Asian churches grow next generation leaders, second and third generation?
That needs to be an intentional plan. See, one of the reasons why we're not having leaders in the next generation, because we don't have an intentional plan for developing leaders in the local church. Nor do we give them the opportunity to step up as leaders. Like what we said earlier, sometimes you don't want to give out your, let's say, the pulpit, because you like to preach all the time or to teach. So we need to give them those opportunities not only to give opportunities, but we also need, here's the part where we're also lacking right now, we need to have models where second generation leaders right now mm-hmm. are able to step up in leadership. Mm-hmm. Because it's lacking, then the next generation feel like, well, you know what, I cannot minister because I don't see them in those positions. Mm-hmm. But if you as a pastor, or you a leader, are developing them and you put them to this place, mm-hmm. you not only do you recognize who they are, mm-hmm. you train them, you empower them, mm-hmm. and you put them in positions where they can excel,
right.
then you are encouraging the next person. By the way, I can become a leader. Mm-hmm. But if you suppress that, then that's what's going to happen. You will lose them, and then you may not even find them in the church today mm-hmm. because they're not given the opportunity.
Right.
So there needs to be an intentional plan. Mm-hmm. of developing them.
Right.
Second, you also need to expose them to other leadership styles too,
mm.
not just the churches. Because what happens mm-hmm. is that if they only are limited to where they are and they don't see other models outside, then it limits their capacity. Then they will say, well, the only place I can minister is in my little church, mm-hmm. in my own small group over here, mm-hmm. but I don't think I can minister beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. They need to set the boundaries beyond that. Say, God, if you have gifted me, you have called me, you have wired me, I can minister anywhere I am because mm-hmm. that's what the Bible says. If the Holy Spirit empowers us, mm-hmm. I can go to my Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Right.
Because the same Spirit that filled up the new believers in the book of Acts mm-hmm. is the same Holy Spirit that can empower any right. person to minister beyond where they are.
Mm. Amen. That's great.
Amen.
Well, yeah, you said your ministry is not limited to Asians, but it's for everyone.
Yes.
Do you see the difference between growing Asian leaders and growing Anglo leaders and other ethnic group leaders?
Yes, I would say one is that the Anglo leadership have a lot of resources in English.
Mm-hmm.
So from first generation churches or ethnic churches, they don't have the resources in their own languages. That can be a limiting factor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
However, the next generation is not limited by that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They can speak in English. They grew up here. They can understand the challenges. So that should be something that we should be able to give them an opportunity to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
We offer leadership development here.
Mm-hmm.
It is for everybody.
Right.
So just because you may be limited in your language, mm-hmm. send somebody that God may be using to be able to develop others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, second area too, I would like for us to think about is that it's easy for people to put us in a box.
Mm-hmm.
When I was an evangelism director for New York
mm-hmm.
and also with North American Mission Board, when I visit people in the churches or even offices, one of the things they asked me, so Ken, which people group do you work with? I said, all.
Oh.
What do you mean all? Like all Asians, because they saw I was Asian. I says, mm-hmm. all means I work with Asians, African Americans, Anglos. Oh, is that the case? Oh, I thought you just work with Asians. I said no.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I made this statement to you right now and to our folks listening too, is that the moment you start to limit yourself, mm-hmm. then that's where you will be limited as well.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought myself in that box. I said, God, if you're going to use me beyond this, mm-hmm. I can become a part of the group that can lead others also.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will bring certain experiences and certain views mm-hmm. that is needed for our churches and our denomination to be more effective.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things I would say for leadership. Don't limit yourself
mm.
because God has given you unlimited potentials if you're willing to tap into it too,
mm-hmm.
to serve others, yes.
Wow,
yeah.
That's great. Well, I am very excited and energized and encouraged at the same time. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your ministry. Well, thank you for listening to this podcast. If you want to listen to more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.